Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, who he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is in this particular moment and space, not only in time, but in this place, that we enter into an opportunity to have your word communicated and shared with authenticity and originality, with clarity. And as we read scriptures today, and as we hear a few points, God, we ask that you would move supernaturally by the power of your Holy Spirit. Your word says if we would abide in you and your word would abide in us, that we can ask what we will and it should be given to us. So God, we ask that you would be present and cause every ear to hear and every heart to perceive what your Spirit says to the church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. As you all know, we are here as a result of having this focus on who?
Jesus.
Having a focus on who?
Jesus.
Amen. Having a focus on Jesus. And most importantly, the portion that we are focused on right now is practicing what he preached. Practicing what he what? And it seems like everybody has gained depth of knowledge of what that means. And we've even began to use it in our homes and among ourselves, that we are attempting to practice what he preached. Do you know that even when you look online, that there is more times that it's going to come up is practice what you preach than it is practice what he preached? And I'm so grateful that God has given us a particular revelation that we're going to focus on practicing what he preached. Practicing what he what? So I want to have a little interaction with you and those that's around you for just a moment. And we know that we have already, maybe some of us did not, but we have 1 hour less sleep, so we need a little interaction. I wish somebody say amen. Praise God. You can. I'm not going to do the communion right now, Brother Peter, so if you would, we'll go ahead and have them jump into their interactions. And here's one question I want you to ask your neighbor, if you don't mind. It's a simple question, and I'm going to ask you potentially. And that is, I want you to talk about, why is pastor preaching or preaching about practice what he preached? This is the 10th week or the 10th version of this message. And so I'm hoping that this is not a check on you. This is more a check on me. I can't get any help in here. Amen. What I mean by that is, I wonder if I'm being clear in the message. I wonder if I'm getting it across. So one of the ways to check the teacher out is to see what those that are listening have learned. Somebody say amen. So if you would, I want to ask that you would find people within your range, and would you talk to them about 2 or 3 minutes? And I want you to ask this question or answer this question with one another. Why is Pastor Treechain practice what he preached? Go ahead. If you do that right now, I want to give you a couple minutes starting now. If you would, you got to actually talk to people. You actually got to cross over and go see each other. Thank you, Amy. Hey, can you turn around, do something, talk to somebody if you don't mind? Please, you got to actually interact. This is called connect right now. Connect. Come on, connect. Why is Pastor Treechain practice what he preached? Thank you, Sister Amy. Come on, John, give some feedback in there, brother. No, bro, that plaid is moving, brother, but I don't hear any sounds, bro. One more minute. 10, 9, 8. All right, all right. I'm going to ask a few questions if you don't mind. I'm going to go from my left to my right if you don't mind. Lewis White family, what do you all have? Why is Pastor Treaching practice what he preached? To become more Christ-like. That's good. Sister Dr. Connie, you and Lori, what we got?
Rain and light.
Ooh, now see, come on, amen. Cameron, Anna, what y'all got over here?
Basically that because we are sinful human beings, we often preach the wrong thing. So what doesn't need to be preached, so we should follow what Christ taught instead of what I'm saying.
Ooh, all right. We ought to follow what Christ said. We ought to follow what who said?
Christ.
Anthony, what did you all have?
Well, I came to the conclusion that it's to show us that he was human and that we can do the same as he did to keep ourselves going
just
as strong.
Come on, man of God. That's like graduate level right there, my brother. What I mean, I'm going to translate that if you don't mind. It has been said that if Jesus had come as only God, we still would follow him for everything that he did. Are you with me? But because he laid down all of his authority, not, you know, his power and royalty that he had in heaven to become 100% human, though he was 100% God, he performed and exercised things on earth that only him having the Holy Spirit could do. Is everybody with me? Which is to say, if he operated in those functions, then how many know that we too can?
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Amen. It's very good. What you all have, Bowles?
You don't want to look like Pharisees.
Watch this. That's awesome. Everybody sit, and everybody who believe it should live it. Come on, everybody say amen. Amen. Thompson's, what we have? Amen. Excellent. Said three different things in there. Went around doing good. I mean, you know, that's Acts 10:38. Went around with sharing his love. Sharing his what?
Love.
Then there was another one in there. And connecting. There we go. And connecting. How many know that what we have need of today more than anything else is connecting? Is what?
Connecting.
Connecting to Christ and connecting to one another. Such a desperate need today. What do we have, Amy and Jacob? Come on. She went practical on us and deep on us. Amen. Right? So I would say that attaches to that. Let's not be Pharisees again. Amen. Praise Jesus. I want to share with you, if you could take notes. There's four things that I really wish. I want to call this part curbside Christ, wanting to come to create clarity. When we talk about today and all of these restaurants and businesses and Sam's and Walmart and Hy-Vee and all of these companies having curbside service, one person said it this way, is to make things convenient. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So therefore, I want to share, I want to make convenient with this clarity in mind of why are we preaching this practice what he preached or practice what he preached. A, is to lead to the life you want. Is to lead to the life you want. I am assured that if we practiced what Jesus preached, that it would lead to the fulfillment, an abundance of God's life for you. Somebody say amen. B, we are preaching, we are sharing about what Jesus preached because like the person who built his house on a rock, because it's like the person who built his house on a what? Don't go there. There's too many scriptures to do this, but Luke 6:46 says it this way. It compares in Matthew the wise and the foolish, but in Luke it says this. Verse 46 says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, who dug what?
Deep.
And laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock, but he who heard and did nothing and did what? Listen to what he said. But he who heard Jesus preaching and did what? He heard it, but he did nothing. He is like, Matthew says, a foolish one. A man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Somebody say amen. That's the word of God. And even though that stings a little bit, everybody, y'all know what y'all, is this, are we trained that we only say amen to the good parts? Amen. I like to talk about C. This is C. Why are we preaching what Jesus preached? Is this because we want to live, receive, and see God's stuff. Pastor, why did you choose that word? Because I am trying to practice common language. Amen. I know that I don't always use what may be best understood. Oh, come on, Judah. Come on, let's thank God for Brother Judah. Woo! That brother. All right. I might be able to use my clicker now. We might go faster. Do y'all see it? Oh, thank you. Go to the next one if you don't mind. Thank you. To live, receive, and see God what? Like God's stuff. We have to practice his ways. If we want to see God's stuff in our lives, if we want to see God's stuff in the earth, if we want to see what Jesus did in the earth, we've got to actually do it his way. We've got to do it how? His ways. And D, I mean, this is worth praising God over. Look at this. Lord Jesus is wonderful. He is wonderful. And he wants us to walk in his ways of the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to walk in his ways of the kingdom of heaven. And do we know that this is the number one thing that Jesus preached is the kingdom of God? Do you know more than grace, more than himself, more than healing, more than any other thing that Jesus preached when he was incarnate on earth, he preached about the kingdom of God. More than anything else, he preached the kingdom of God. So therefore, it's something about the kingdom that we ought to be studying, and we too ought to be able to minister more and more about the kingdom. Let me show you what I mean. Go to the next screen, if you will. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, this is what Jesus preached. He preached the kingdom. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God. And saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Somebody say amen. Could you check this out? Go to the next screen, if you will. Luke 4:43 says it this way. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God. I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. For this purpose I have been sent. One of the purposes of Jesus was to preach the kingdom of God. Was to preach the what? So therefore, may we be found adhering to what Jesus preached. And he preached the kingdom. Jesus preached the what?
Kingdom.
Next screen. As was on the screen already, today's message in portion handles all five of these aspects. Help is on the way, curbside Christ, future. When we look at our future, we have to go to our beginning. If we want to look at your future, you have to go to your what?
Beginning.
Scripturally wise, if you want to know our future, one of the ways to know our future is to look at the beginning. And this is a believer's basic connection today. The message is about the believer's basic, this is like the most basic of connections. And ultimately, we want to be able to prepare the way for the life that God wants you to have and live. Somebody say amen. Can I get you to meditate or marinate over that a little bit? That God has a life that he wants you to live. Listen, life is not always designed to go from one problem and one crisis to another. Life in Christ is not to go from one bad to another. I'm going to say that again. From one worry to another worry. Listen, some of us have become so familiar with attacks that we're more comfortable under attack than we are living in freedom. I would far rather be more comfortable living the life that Jesus Christ paid for than living under the life that was unpaid for. Jesus paid for us to live in freedom and authority and grace and power and joy. I mean, why? Otherwise, why say it? I have come that they may have life. And it more abundantly. That's not small life. That's not fragmented life. And let's not make up excuses. Well, you know, we're just human. No, that's not the definition of human. Jesus defined human. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen. Next screen, if you will. Myself. One of the things we need to practice, is this worth your writing? One of the things we need to practice is that I need to turn my attention, affection, and acts upon Jesus. I need to turn my attention. This is worth memorizing. I need to turn my attention, my affection, and my acts upon Jesus. I need to turn my attention. How many know that many things come to distract us? But may I turn my attention, may I turn, this is the one I really love, is my affection. Because so many things are warring after your affection. So many things are warring after your affection, like what you have an affection for and what you have warmth over, or what causes you to get in that zone of making you feel more comfortable. Everything else wants to fight for that affection, but we must turn our attention and our affection. And guess what? Our acts. Our what? Acts. Like in our actions, upon Jesus. If we want to practice and see the God things, then we must turn our attention, our affection, and our acts upon Jesus. Next screen. Oh, thank you, Mr. Judah. Everybody turn their Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Here is an incredibly familiar passage of scripture. But today, I hope that we can share something with simplicity. Like, it always starts off with simplicity, and then somehow I get a hold of it. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read verses 9. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Here it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. I really want to bring this to our attention, because here's what we want to talk about. Is countdown, and everybody said amen. We want to discuss this one subject today. Is in verse 11, can I get you to look at verse 11, if you will? Verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us, this is part of the prayer. Give us this day our what? Give us this day our daily bread. Today's title is called Daily Bread. Daily Bread. Really interesting. Remember I said that, you know, it starts off simple. Are you with me? The actual study on this shows that this particular verse is the translation of the word daily does not show up in any other place in Scripture. The actual Greek does not show up. This phrase does not come about anywhere else in Scripture, from my understanding. And the challenge and the difficulty is, so therefore, it has created much debate and controversy over what it means. So I want to be able to, in order for us to understand the end of the message, you've got to get the understanding of what this particular scripture means when Jesus is the one saying it, and he says it, in which he probably spoke in Aramaic, but he says this statement, "Give us this day our daily bread." Our what? Daily bread. And so what translators have come to realize is that there's two different phrases that this actual translation means. The first one is this. It doesn't mean daily, but it means give us bread for tomorrow. Give us bread for tomorrow. Are you with me? The other thing that this compares to is the actual parallel passage of Scripture that's found in Luke, when Luke gives the understanding of what Jesus teaches. Luke uses the translation of this. Give us our day-by-day bread. Give us our day-by-day bread. So you obviously see there's some form of a conflict in the translations of what it means. Are you with me? So therefore, we don't want to deal with the debate of which one is right or the Bible's not right, because I believe that the Word of God is infallible. I believe that the Word of God is inerrant because of what God does and speaks through His Word. Are you with me? And I know that's theological and commentary based and or scholarly in Bible colleges, which Pastor Jeremy taught me, was not necessarily the case. However, I hold fast that God is larger than errors of man. Amen. Somebody say amen. So we've got to get this remembrance that it means daily bread means give us daily bread or give us bread for the morrow. And what this is compared to, get this, this is compared to when many people are on a journey and they gather up a sack for bread or substance and nourishment. It's meant to grab enough that you have for today, but on your journey, you have just enough for the morning. But you may not have enough for the night meal, but you have enough for your journey and on the next morning. Are you with me? That's when it means give us bread for the morrow. And when you talk about day by day, and when Luke says it this way, I think that, you know, helps us to understand that it is meant every day, God, we have need of your bread. Every day we have need of your substance. So God, provide us with everything we have need of, nourishment every single day. Are you with me? And everybody said amen. But for the sake of simplicity, I want to ask you that today we want to talk about what? Say it out loud. We want to talk about what?
Daily bread.
Here is the preacher's daily bread. No matter if I stop the message now or if I just jump to the end or whatever I do, and I'm doing this for those that are always trying to pray for me and help me with simplicity. So here is the message in its entirety on this one screen. Daily bread can be seen in manna from heaven, giving people living nourishment every day. We also live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we need to read the word daily. Isn't that good? Can I get y'all to read that with me? Ready, set, read. Daily bread can be seen in manna from heaven, giving people living nourishment every day. We also live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we need to read the word daily. Come on, somebody. Isn't that good? Glory to God. I think that's a good word. Amen. Hallelujah. To break this down in four parts is simply this. Daily bread, as revealed in Scripture, is identified as maybe potentially coming first from heaven. Daily bread first came from heaven. Uncle. Daily bread first came from where? When we look at scriptures, we see that this has a root. Obviously, Matthew hasn't been written. Luke hasn't been written yet. So what is Jesus referring to? He's referring to what has occurred in the children of Israel. So therefore, it is very well understood or possible that what he was speaking about was daily bread that came from where? But make no mistake, now that Jesus is here, Jesus is the bread of heaven. I don't know where your shout is this morning. It must be still in the bed. Amen. I said, Jesus is the bread of what? Not only is that, Jesus is the word of
God.
So therefore, Jesus is our daily bread from heaven as the word of God. Jesus is our daily bread from heaven as who is the word of God. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Praise God. This is the entirety of the complete message. Are you with me? The simplicity of your action point to take home is read the word daily. Amen. The reason I have the one thing I've learned and lived is this, is that when we take a look at some of those in this room and some of those lives that you look up to or you aspire to say, man, they live in Christ and, you know, you see good things in their life, you know, whatever it might be. I've got people in the room that I feel that way about as well and things like that. And when you look at people in the room or people in Christ that are living in a way that even though they might deal with difficulties, they seem to always overcome them. Are you with me? How many of you know those people that they've been in fire, but they don't smell like smoke? I mean, the people that genuinely, you know, when something happens that's a trouble, they go like this. Let me know that that's not being sadistic. That's being a saint. Because when your faith is in the one who's faithful, It doesn't matter what you come in or go through. You know it's just it too will come to pass. Amen. Glory to God. What I'm saying is simply this. Is that I've come to believe if we narrowed it down to the most basics of functions, I have every reason to believe it's because of reading the Word of God every day. Somebody say amen. I could go further with lots of other types of teaching. I'll just throw this one in here for free. If we see the Word of God as being a medicine cabinet or a toolbox, we are misunderstanding the Word of God. What is a medicine cabinet? I got something wrong. I go to it in Scriptures and I try to find something in Scripture to help me with my situation. It's getting quiet up in here. Something's broke in my life. Let me go to the toolbox and let me pull out something. One pastor puts it this way. If the only time we're reading the Word of God is on the screen, lots of hurting ouches today. I don't know what's going on, amen. Lots of ouches today. You know, but if that's the only time I'm reading the Word of God, then we've got our assignment, and that's just to read the Word of God how? To read the Word of God how? Because if we read the Word of God daily, it's our daily bread. It's our daily bread. Somebody say amen. Let's go to Exodus 16. Let's go to Exodus 16. I'm having a good time. Amen. We'll pick out a little bit at a time and a couple of important things so we can learn from it. You know, one assignment is that you could take this message, for instance, and let each chapter be a day, so to speak, right? So like tomorrow, you could read Exodus 16. Somebody say amen. That's good. Pastor, you're being extremely practical today. Thank you very much. Just listening to other people. Tell me how I should teach. So just trying to make it plain. Have everybody noticed what's at the top of that bread from? If you look at your computer or whatever, if you look at your computer, if you look at your Bible, it says bread from. It says bread from. All right. So this is the story of the children of Israel when they are in the wilderness and they come to a place of really complaining about not having substance, nourishment, or provision. Are y'all with me? I'm going to do my very best to read through a couple of parts so that you can see something. It says, and they journeyed from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Zion, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. So this is so important. So they are out of bondage. They are out of what? They are out of slavery, they are out of oppression, and they say, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. You see, that's a concern when we would rather die in oppression and slavery. Does everybody see that? When we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. How many know people can wax when they want to? Are you with me? How many know people can put it on you, right? They was mad at Pastor Teran and Pastor Aaron Jeremy. Are you with me? And they was like saying all kind of stuff like, you know, and the part that I love about, remember the VeggieTales, right, when they tell the story? When VeggieTales tells this story, they go on, you remember the leeks and onions we used to have? And do you remember the melons we used to eat? And I think it was like a grape or something. Did like this. What? we were in slavery. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you forgetting what you were in? All I'm trying to make sure I reach out about is that we dare not go back to the things that we used to when we've been already to be freed by the hand of God. Hallelujah. I mean, no, I don't want to go back. Somebody say amen. Let's go to verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain what? I will rain what? From for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, a certain amount every day. They're going to gather a certain what? Every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Do y'all see that they were supposed to gather daily? And on the sixth day, prior to the Sabbath, they were to gather, and it was going to be twice as much. Everybody with me? So in other words, God wanted to have them to still rest, so he was going to provide double for them. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
God was going to provide what? So that they could? So that they could rest. That's beautiful. Let's, for the sake of time, can I get you to skip down. And I'm going to start at verse 15. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? They said what? Manna is called, what is it? Right? And when you really look at some of the etymology of that whole phrase, it means what is it? What is it? Right? So what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. So when the measurement of its omers, he would gather much as nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Come on, that's powerful, amen? Every man had gathered according to each one's need, and Moses said, let no one leave any of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. And I said, but some of them left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Does everybody see that? And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. We'll stop right there. So we understand the instructions that they were given about the manna, which was the bread from heaven. Everybody with me? Let's take a look at what I mean. Daily bread came from heaven as manna. Manna meant what is it? Manna meant what? It was provisions of daily nourishment. But it's very important that they understand that in then times they were living under the law. Everything was rule-based, so they had instructions to follow. And when they did not follow those instructions or tried to do differently than what God had asked of them, if it was tried to get a little bit more, you tried to take a little bit more in and save it for tomorrow, and you weren't supposed to, worms and smell cause it to rot, or it was rotted. Everybody with me? But we want to remember where there was the 2 days worth came for the Sabbath. Came for the what? And as you see in this particular picture, it gives a depiction of what was upon the ground. Really great details. It was that which was under the dew, and when the dew lifted of the day, then that manna was there, and they picked it up, which was a flaky-like substance or whatever, and boy, that could preach by itself. But let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 6. Turn our Bibles to John chapter 6. Appreciate your patience. We know we're dealing with some electronics and screens and awkwardness, but If I can get you to read your Bible in John chapter 6, I think God will keep ministering to us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to start at verse 26, New King James Version, and I'm going to read fairly swiftly, but if you would allow it to be so, you could read this passage on Tuesday. Did you hear me? I don't think y'all follow what I'm saying over here, amen. Just being practical. Oh, well, look a here. Wow. That's fresh bread right there, amen. Yeah, that's good. All right. Let's read. Starting at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were what? Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal to him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we would work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? That work you will do. Our fathers ate what?
Manna.
Our fathers ate what?
Manna.
In the desert, as it is written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Jesus says, "I am the what? He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you, and you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of my Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I would lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day." And everybody said, amen. Can I get you to jump down? And let's start at verse 47. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." Read verse 48 with me. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among them, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food." For my flesh is what?
Food.
"Indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of my Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats the bread will live forever." And everybody said, amen. I think one of the things I want to make sure we do is today we're going to have communion. Somebody say, amen. But I want to share with you these thoughts, and that is, communion is receiving the bread of life which is eating Jesus' body and drinking Jesus' blood. And that seems so simple, but why did they stumble over this? We won't hang out there, but we today don't have to. Somebody say amen. Number one, Jesus is the bread of life. I don't want us to miss this concept that Jesus is the bread of life. Number two, this is a hard saying. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. The Jewish people stumbled over that because they did not spiritually discern it. How many know there are many things that we don't do because we try to see it in the natural and not in the spiritual? There's many things that God will ask us to do and we hesitate, we stumble over it because we are trying to operate out of the flesh or out of the rules or out of the material rather than functioning, operating, listening to the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and walking by the Spirit. So they missed this point. But today we do discern the Lord's body and his blood. Somebody say amen. Come on, we don't have to stumble. We've got understanding that Jesus' body and Jesus' blood was for our life. Amen. Number four, notice how the passage transitions to the Word of God. Can I show you that? Up until this point, we are talking about, Jesus even starts off by doing the miracle of feeding the 5,000. So this seems like the whole entire passage or chapter is kind of seemingly about eating. Are you with me? I don't want you to miss that because let's keep reading. Jump down to verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" Everybody, I want you to make sure you highlight verse 63. Look what it says. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits for nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." I want everybody to see this verse, and it's a good verse for you to memorize. It's a good verse for you to begin to pray. It's a good verse that you store in your heart that you might not sin against God or that you have life from God. Why? Because the Bible just said the words that Jesus speaks, and he is the word and he is bread, and the words that he speaks, they are spirit and they are life. When you're feeling decayed and down and out, when you're feeling like you are weak, how many understand it's because you've been reading the word of God daily that you are renewed in strength because of the word that's on the inside of you? My God, we know more about nutrition in our physical bodies than sometimes we do in our spiritual bodies. What I mean by that, if we eat enough protein, then we have enough energy. The protein comes from the word of God. He's not only the word, but he's also the liquid that gives us hydration. If we take on the word daily, we would have strength for our feet in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just for fun. Jump down, if you will. Starting at verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked." "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Can you imagine following Jesus, seeing miracles? Some of these people just ate, and they know they started off with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Are you with me? And all of a sudden, every time they broke off, you know, a bite, you know, more fish came up. But because Jesus said something that was hard for them, they packed up their family and said, we don't get it now. Now he's gone too far. We going to go home. And they did not walk with Jesus anymore. Come on, somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? What has God said to you? What word has been revealed? What has he asked of you that it's so hard that you feel like, I don't, that, now, nah, that's too much. Look at what it says in the scriptures. From that time they walked with him no more. Verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Look what Simon Peter says. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the what? You have the what? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you have the words of eternal life. Peter's been with them the whole entire time. He didn't talk about the miracles or the people that he saw raised from the dead or Lazarus coming out of a tomb soon to be. He didn't talk about those things. He says, you have the words of eternal life. Why? Because it's the word of God or the daily bread that feeds us and nourishes us no matter what we're dealing with or going through. When we eat the word daily, it begins to be our very substance that transforms us and we gain the life that we always could have. Hallelujah. My God, some of us are constantly in prayer for more patience. Eat the daily bread, and when you get ready to snap, that snap never happens. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How do we do this? We'll go through the notes. In John chapter 1, don't go there. This is what you're going to read on Wednesday. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. I want you to remember this part. We all know how to quote it. But it says, in the beginning was the word. In verse number 2, it says this, which emulates the same as verse 1, that the same was in the beginning. If we want to know our future, then you got to go back to our beginning. You see, when this passage of scripture is written, John, who is known as an intellectual and a scholar, we know that by their history of them being the sons of Zebedee. So when we know that they know the Torah and have it memorized, he intentionally starts his gospel off in a way that all Jewish readers would have to know what he's talking about. So he quotes Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. He's saying this so that they know, wait a minute, before you misunderstand who this Jesus is, remember in the beginning. Because the same was that was in the beginning is the same one that's here right now. Somebody say amen. I want you to know he says that he has the life. He has the what? So Jesus is preached in John 1, 1 to 5. That's your Wednesday reading. Now I'm going to speed along to talk about why we believe in the daily bread. Here it says, our daily bread, read, is word of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 is this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of which we preach. Come on, I want you everybody to read these scriptures if you don't mind. What about our daily bread, read, meaning the word of faith? Keep going. Verse 9, ready, set, read. That is, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Somebody say amen. Amen. We believe in the daily bread read because it's the word of truth. Ephesians 1:13, ready, set, read. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Somebody say amen. Amen. We believe our daily bread read is the word of truth, but we also believe our daily bread read is the word of life. 1 John 1 and 1, ready, set, read. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. When you understand that the daily bread is the word for your life, one pastor put it this way, that God in his divine orchestration, you want to have two types of reading. You want to have recreational reading, that's things that are interest-bearing, things that you wanted to read this passage of scripture. This is somebody you heard this on your radio station. Somebody was preaching this and you wanted to look into it more. But you also need to have a disciplined reading, a reading that you are reading constantly, that you're reading this chapter, you're reading that chapter, you're reading the next chapter, because God knows how for you to be fed off of what you're reading. Just because you're reading in discipline doesn't mean that it's not spiritual or supernatural. God knows how to get you to the right passage when you have need of it, and it becomes substance and nourishment for you. Hallelujah. Say the word of life. When we talk about our four daily breads that's read reasons, it's read them out loud. Word of, word of, word of, which we now want to look at what? Everywhere. We want to look at what? The Bible says that Jesus preached this. Every rhema word, Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But how many understand the people? This is why I say I've learned it and lived it. You hear God more clearly when you've already read the word. When we talk about not hearing his voice, it's because we've got to get the word down on the inside of us so that when he says something, the Holy Spirit brings it back into remembrance, and it's not some gibberish of something you made up, but it's the word of God. This is how we hear the voice of God more clearly. This is how we begin to hear and be obedient, even if it's not something you understand. But the word is on the inside of you. You know if he said it, then you read it. And if you read it, he said it. And therefore you can obey it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Man shall not live by what? Not by bread alone, but by every what? That proceeds out of the? Come on, Peter, you can come up, man of God. Wherever he is, or put the little playlist on, or wherever he might be, and y'all hum if he's not here. Amen? I want to close on two rhema words right now for bread and faith today. Are y'all ready? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, you see, Jesus was quoting this passage of scripture. Are y'all with me? And I didn't know it at first, but God was unfolding something, and he began to just edge me on a little bit more. Like, I did not know that it was going to be here, but I just began to believe that somehow God, that Deuteronomy chapter 8 has to have something to do with them in the wilderness of manna. Somebody say amen. I didn't go there fast. I didn't go there right away. You see, this whole entire message was based on daily bread. Based on what?
Daily bread.
And I had no idea at the time that when we spoke and I heard a word about daily bread, that it was directly going to relate to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is directly related to the manna, which is directly related to the daily bread. Look at what the passage says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Get your communion ready. He humbled you, and in your hunger, in your what? He gave you manna to eat. He gave you what? He gave you manna to eat, which neither you nor your fathers had known, right? We didn't know what it was. So that you might understand that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Look at the note beneath it. You see, in the Hebrew, in this lesson, even though it shows up, as I've already shared with you, it means these two things. Get this. The lesson was taught that it is not nature which nourishes man, but God the creator by and through nature. In other words, God is not limited to nature, but yet he also blesses us through nature. and generally that God is not tied to a particular channel, meaning he has to use bread or nourishment to feed us. God can cause it to come from heaven. God can feed you spiritually. What did Jesus say when he was at the woman at the well when he met the woman at the well? He says, "For I have bread that you know not of." God can feed us far more than any kind of wheat bread or oat grain or gluten-free. God can feed us with natural or spiritual, supernatural bread from heaven. You know, sometimes you shouldn't even pray for money. You should pray for provision. Hallelujah. God, you bring it however you want to. How many know it's one thing to get money to pay for the bill, but it's another thing to get the call. They say they canceled the bill. You didn't have need of money. You had need of provision. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to get us to hear is this. Do you see that man shall not live by every thy bread alone, but by every word, by every what? And God is well able. God is well able to cause word to come flourishing and be transformed into that which is spiritual and nourishing on the inside of our lives. We have great need of daily bread. We have great need of what? Number two. And number two. Is Luke chapter 22.
What? Welcome to this presentation.
Wow.
Of classic biblical teaching.
Luke 22. For I tell you that I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He says, I would not eat the Passover meal. I would not eat the bread. I would not eat the wine. I would not drink the wine until it happens where? In the kingdom of what? Into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Here's the point. The kingdom of God is now here. Jesus Christ, after the cross, is our Sabbath rest. Jesus Christ is the kingdom and the king in us. Jesus Christ and our daily after day bread, and our bread is for tomorrow. Let me tell you what I mean. Have you ever noticed that if they did not take up twice as much, or if they took too much, the bread would rot? But the bread now of Jesus from heaven will never rot, because he is the bread of life. You say, Pastor, well, if he's emulating that which was of manna and he said, I'm now the bread of heaven, how is that be? Because Jesus now is that Sabbath day where they were supposed to get twice as much and they would hold on to it and it would never rot. Jesus now is that bread that is the twice as much. When we need him, he gives us the rest because he is our Sabbath day. He is the one that gives us the rest. Jesus is our rest. He is our Sabbath. We're no longer under the law. He has fulfilled the law. Therefore, he is our rest. Our rest doesn't come on one day of a week. Our rest is whenever we have need of rest, because Jesus is our rest. And the more bread from heaven, the daily bread we take in, we'll be able to have that rest when we need it. Come on, somebody. And guess what? Every word now of who Jesus is will never rot. It will never have worms. It will never go bad, because that bread is fresh from heaven. That's why it says, for every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Today we take the communion. God, we see your body. And your body was broken for us. So on this day, Lord, we remember that the bread is the children's healing. For the bread is the children's healing. Father, there are those of us that may need of rest, needing to stop striving, needing to stop worrying, need to stop running, and just needing to rest. Jesus, we don't have to run to a particular place for rest. All we need to do is to receive from you right where we are. For Jesus, today we take of this bread, which is your body. We do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. This juice is the blood of Jesus Christ. For we do not stumble after this new covenant that you've cut with us. For those of us that's in this listening audience, God, for anyone that sees and believes that they are unworthy, I pray now, God, that they would turn their attention, their affection, and their acts of taking of this blood upon Jesus. For Jesus is the one who is worthy of it all. It is in him we live. It is in him we move. And it is in him that we have our being. For we now are in Christ, and Christ is in us. So with this drink, cleanse. With this drink, we are refreshed. With this drink, we remember the new covenant that you have created for us. In your name, in Jesus we pray, amen. So, Father, we are dismissed from this place. We ask, God, that we would take this exhortation to read the